Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
All right, 320 on ESPN, 1530. I'm Mo Egger. I am a fan of the work of Trevor Sikkema, who's really busy this time of year. He's graded the Bengals draft. He's graded all 32 teams. And where he is with the Bengals is kind of in line with where most national pundits are. You can get Trevor's work. He is a senior NFL reporter with the Draft Network. He is also a co-host of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Obviously, we're big fans of James Rapine Locked On Bengals podcast, so you can find Trevor's work with the Locked On Podcast Network, and he has got a 2022 mock draft that's up. He's with us on behalf of betonline.ag. There's updated Super Bowl odds. There's opening odds on the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. There's player stat props for some of the top picks in this draft, including Ja'Marr Chase. That is a long windup to welcome in our guy, Trevor. I appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I am doing great, Mo. I appreciate having me on the show.
All right, you gave the Bengals a B. Give me what you like. Give me what you don't like so much.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of players to love really in the mid-rounds. I love Joseph Osai. I love Cam Sample. Love Tyler Sheldon. I understand the Deontay Smith pick. Kevin McPherson, all right, a little bit early for a kicker, but he's one of the best in college football. I like Chris Evans, and I like Wyatt Hubert at the end there. You'll notice I didn't say the two names that started off this draft, and I want to start by saying Ja'Marr Chase is awesome. He is my wide receiver one. I like him as a prospect. But for the longest time, the debate between Bengals fans was, who do you take at number five? Do you take Penei Sewell or do you take Ja'Marr Chase? And the argument that a lot of Bengals fans gave me, because I was on team Penei Sewell, is that they said, hey, look how deep this offensive tackle room is. If you go get Ja'Marr Chase at the top of the draft, you look at the guys who could be available in the second round. And they brought up names like Alex Leatherwood, Tevin Jenkins, Liam Eikenberg, these kinds of offensive tackles who I'd have been okay with. I've been okay with that, but they get Jackson Carman. And I'm not the biggest fan of Jackson Carman. I feel like he might be a future interior offensive lineman, which is fine because that goes towards his game a little bit more. He's a bit bigger of an offensive tackle. He's got a lot more power to him. That run blocking is better than the pass blocking at that point. And so with that sense, I think he could be a good offensive lineman for them, but I don't think that this was the 1-2 exercise that most Bengals fans who wanted Ja'Marr Chase were hoping for, especially in the second round. I was on team Penei Sewell. I didn't think that Riley Reiff should hold you back from drafting a guy who I think could be a really, really good offensive tackle for you, both as a left tackle and a right tackle. And so I was team Penei Sewell in this regard, but Ja'Marr Chase, getting him reunited with Joe Burrow, this is a record-breaking college football duo that's now back together again in the NFL. That's very exciting, but I like the Bengals draft. Maybe could have very well given them a B+, given everything that I listed there that I really liked from them. But I was team Penei Sewell. I thought that's the direction that they should have gone. That, to me, would have been the better valuation of the process here. And that's why, even though I love Ja'Marr Chase and he's my wide receiver one, I couldn't give this one an A because I feel like offensive tackle still should have been the pick at five.
So I was on team Chase, as we've put it here, but that was contingent upon getting the best available lineman with the 38th pick. And so when I went to bed last Thursday night, I'm thinking Tevin Jenkins has a chance to be there. I don't know who else is going to take a lineman in front of them. As I'm watching on Friday evening, he's there at 38. They trade down. They get the extra pick. Jackson Carman, a lot of people like him because he's from this area. But why not Tevin Jenkins?
Yeah, the answer to that question is I don't know. I'm not really sure why Tevin Jenkins even lasted until the early second round. I think there might be some health concerns there. You know, there's some talk of, okay, he might have some hip issues that he's dealt with in the past, but I mean, those were rumblings. It wasn't something that was too serious. Obviously, he played at right tackle the last 2 years for Oklahoma State. He's got the mean streak to him. I mean, I saw some reports, people saying like, oh, you know, does he love football too much? Look, watch his tape. I mean, the guy's a destroyer. So I don't know. I don't know how people came up with that out of nowhere, but yeah, I mean, it just, I am personally with you. I went to bed on Thursday night, and I would have told you, man, the Bengals are in a good spot. They got a chance to really knock this out of the park, even with Chase being the selection at five. I named a couple of those offensive tackles there, Tevin Jenkins, Liam Eikenberg, Dylan Radin, Steven, Samuel Cosmi, all of these guys were still on the board. They end up trading back, and, you know, they ended up picking Jackson Carmen over Samuel Cosmi. And so I'm not so sure. I mean, I really did like the Chase pick in terms of the individual player he was giving them, but when the exercise is all said and done here, getting one and two, they went wide receiver at the top. They rolled the dice with offensive tackle, and if you want my honest opinion, they didn't come away with the right one. They didn't do what they needed to do. Trading back, I feel like, was a foolish decision because it took them out of the running for a lot of the offensive tackles that started to go, which we knew would be the case. And so I did not love how they executed those first two picks, even though I fully admit that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a great player for them.
Trevor Sikkema, Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, also the Draft Network. He is on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey, and he's joining us thanks to our friends at betonline.ag. Talk to me about what they did on the edge. This was obviously an area of focus. They let Carl Lawson get away. They bring in Trey Hendrickson. I'm not sure that's a gain. At the very least, it feels like they stayed flat there. So they had to get guys on the outside. How'd they do?
Well, you're right. It's a little bit of a switch out at best when it comes to Hendrickson, but Hendrickson has played well with New Orleans over the last couple of years, and so you like the add. And, man, them getting Joseph Osai and Cam Sample, I think, is fantastic. I think that really rejuvenates their edge room and gives them some nice edge options. Joseph Osai has got incredible burst off the line of scrimmage. It's just he's trying to figure out what to do after that. And so he's going to be a little bit more of a project player. And even though Joseph Osai was drafted before Cam Sample, I would tell you that Cam Sample might actually have the bigger year one impact for them because of how much more polished I believe he is, and he still gives you some great upside as well. And so I feel like overall, when you look at the totality of what the Bengals were able to do at the edge this past offseason, you lose a major guy in Carl Lawson, but you get these two guys in the draft, you throw Trey Hendrickson in there, and I think that they're great. I also want to make sure that I point out Tyler Shelvin. Love him, man. I love this dude. He's a former five-star player. He's a nose tackle type. He's got the size to really clog up the holes in the middle, but also every now and then when he knows it's a passing play, or if they just tell him, hey, Tyler, just get into the backfield, he'll give you some crazy bursts. You know, he'll give you those options where in a phone booth, if you will, the quickness off the snap, he'll be able to throw his center right off of him and get into the backfield. And so that's how he got those five stars coming out of high school, and I think that's what gives him a lot of upside in what you're going to see from him going into the NFL. And so defensive line in general, I think the Bengals got a lot better this offseason.
Stay with me on the offensive line, because Jackson Carmen was not the only offensive lineman they took. They took a kid from ECU. Obviously, this being an American Athletic Conference city, we are familiar with that program. We've watched Deontay Smith play. Also, Trey Hill, interior offensive lineman, mostly at center at Georgia. What do you like or not like about those two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at Deontay Smith, he's just more of a developmental guy. You know, of course, he was picked in the range where you would expect that to be so, but he's more of a West Coast kind of a running zone running scheme offensive lineman. And so, you know, it'll be a little bit of adjustment with him running different kinds of blocking schemes in the NFL. But I mean, I think that he brings what you would think is relative athleticism to the position. I think that, you know, with him getting the starting left tackle job the last 2 years, he's got a decent amount of experience in it. Had an injury that he was going through in 2020. And so it'll be a little bit of a developmental journey for him. You're not really dropping offensive tackles in the fourth round that are playing right away, but that's okay. You know, they've got some guys in the tank, and I think that they at least did well, you know, not getting Penei Sewell, I think, really hurt, but they've got Jonah Williams, have Riley Reiff, the experience of him on the right tackle for at least a year, and so now they get to see what Jackson Carmen and Dante Smith can be. And so I tell you that you can be cautiously optimistic with these guys. They showed some promise the last couple of years, but these are developmental players. Trey Hill from Georgia as well. It's kind of the same thing. I don't expect too much in year one from them, but there's some upside that you can believe in with these later round picks.
You loved Baltimore's draft. You loved Cleveland's draft. You were unmoved by Pittsburgh's draft. Give me an AFC North snapshot based on what happened over 3 days in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think Baltimore did a really nice job of adding the exact players that they needed. They had big trench needs when it came to edge rusher, and they got Odafe Oweh, the edge rusher out of Penn State in the first round. I think they did a really nice job making sure that him and Tyus Bowser on the edge, at least they can get away with that, moving on from Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue. The thing I love the most about their class, though, is their wide receivers. Rashad Bateman and Tylan Wallace are the two exact kinds of wide receivers that I think the Baltimore Ravens really need it. It helps marry their passing games, which we've seen between their tight ends and wide receivers, which has just been too different to this point. You know, tight end passing was always over the middle in contested catch situations. Wide receivers were always deep vertical down the sidelines, and it just, it needs to be more than that. It needed to be more diverse. I think those two guys helped round them out. Cleveland Hall, awesome. I mean, Cleveland was one of the best rosters in the NFL going into the draft. They grabbed Greg Newsome, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Tommy Togiai, Tony Fields. I mean, these guys are great depth players for them. They're great spot starters, and a couple of them at the top, of course, with Newsome and Owusu-Koramoah, they're even impact players now. You even look at Anthony Schwartz, I mean, underutilized at Auburn. I think that the, you know, you put him in some speed situations, you get him in on some bubble screens, really use him as a mismatch player. I think that you got to love that as well. Pittsburgh, I don't know, man. Mike Tomlin has earned the right for me to at least let it play out here with this class, but offensive line and cornerback was their biggest need, and they didn't even address offensive line until the third and fourth round. They end up going with a running back. I get it. Najee Harris is good, but he ain't got the boys up front of him to block right now. And Pat Freiermuth, he doesn't bring much as a blocker as well, so he's much more of an F tight end. And then, and I thought they reached for Buddy Johnson in the fourth round. Isaiah Loudermilk wasn't even in TDN's top 350 players, and they took him in the fifth round. So you like Quincy Roche, you like Presley Harvin III, obviously a fun punter from Georgia Tech, but I don't know. I guess I'll just have to punt this one to Mike Tomlin and just kind of respect what he's been able to do in the NFL. Maybe he can make something out of this draft class, because right now, I didn't love it.
Trevor with us on behalf of betonline.ag. I'm looking at some of the early props involving rookies. Can you talk me out of Ja'Marr Chase over 7.5 touchdowns?
I think that that's probably a good number for him.
Yes.
What they would like to see. I mean, we're looking at some instant connection here between him and Joe Burrow. There's a lot to love here. And, it, you know, it's not like Ja'Marr Chase is coming into a situation where he's the only guy, right? I mean, if he would have went to the Detroit Lions, I could see defenses really putting their number one corner on him because there's nobody else on the roster. You put safety help over the top, and you basically say, no, this rookie's not beating us. And I think the stats would be a little bit limited. But you go to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they got a plethora of different guys. They got Tyler Boyd. They got T. Higgins. They've got Auden Tate, right? I mean, they have these other players that they can throw out there that you've got to pay attention to, and that's without counting Joe Mixon in the backfield. So I think that, you know, 7 is high for a rookie, but I think that Ja'Marr Chase is well within reason to bet the over on that one.
Trevor Sikkema, senior NFL reporter with the Draft Network. By the way, he's got a 2022 mock draft up right now. It disturbs me the Bengals are picking 4th, but that's based on the latest Super Bowl odds. So hopefully, for our standpoint, that's not the case. You could follow Trevor on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey, and also hear him, part of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast as well. I know you are swamped. I appreciate the insight, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. Anytime.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Long Neck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.